are waiting on YOU to join us tonight. Come on in, everybody.
Well, we trust that you are having a great day, because this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And we're getting ready to close out February. As a matter of fact, tomorrow will be the last day of February. And this has been an exciting month. Wouldn't you agree, Lady Kim?
Absolutely.
As we have, the whole world has stopped to place emphasis on Black history. But as you indicated, and it's clear that our history does not end with just one month, but we continue to carry our heritage and our culture and our tradition throughout the year. And so we praise God for how exciting this month has been at ATOP, and how God has blessed in a powerful and a mighty way. And so we're grateful for each of you who are joining us tonight as we prepare for this time that we're going to spend together. We're in 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. It's a familiar chapter. As we read it, you will find out that there's a lot of information in here that perhaps you've heard before, or that you've had an opportunity to hear preached or taught, perhaps even memorize some of the verses. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Amen.
And so before we get into that, we're going to have prayer, and then we'll do a little reflection, if you will, on yesterday's service, a powerful time in the Lord. I praise God for his visitation and how his favor is resting upon us. And we hope that and pray that God will continue to sustain the ministry even as we go forward through the rest of the year. And if these first 2 months are any indication of what's yet to come, we believe and we know that that scripture is true, where it says eyes haven't seen nor ears heard.
Hallelujah.
Neither have they entered into the heart of men
the things
that God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you love the Lord tonight?
Oh,
give me some
yes.
thumbs up if you love the Lord and you're excited about what God is about to do, what he's doing and what he's already done. And so we praise God for his keeping power tonight.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, Lady Kim, as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we yet give you praise. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for yet looking beyond our faults and getting right to our needs. We know you as a healer and a deliverer. And we know that all power is within your hands. And there's absolutely nothing too hard for you. And so, God, we pray that you would yet meet us even in this virtual study tonight. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. And we decree that we will be better. We will be healed. We will grow. Our faith will increase as a result of spending this time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise
amen.
God.
Yes.
All right, well, this is the 27th day of February, and we're closing out this month, and we had a powerful time in our worship experience on yesterday. And even before we start to just reflect on the powerful word that was preached by Dr. Wesley, Lady Kim, I think we need to just pause and just say a word of appreciation to all of those who
Amen.
Worked so hard.
So
I tell you, we have some of the greatest people in the world that work at ATOP, and they're volunteering. And I tell you, they were working. We had a funeral on Saturday with a repast, and then we had a full service with visitors coming from Birmingham on yesterday, and they just rolled up their sleeves and went to work. And even as I was leaving, they were still working, Lady Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And so just a word of appreciation and praise to God for all of the volunteers at ATOP and all of those who pitched in and helped and to assist. And we're getting all kind of reviews. People have been texting me and calling, talking about how much they enjoyed themselves yesterday from Birmingham and how much they certainly appreciate the hospitality. And Dr. Wesley, when he returned home last night, he called and just wanted to say again how much he certainly appreciated the time that he was able to spend with the ATOP church family on yesterday.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So tell us a little bit about what you gathered from the message on yesterday, Lady Kim.
Well, it was so rich. There was so much there.
That's right.
You know, I can't tell it all because we wouldn't get to First Chronicles. But Dr. Wesley preached from Luke, the 19th chapter, the first 10 verses of that chapter. Mm-hmm. And it talked about him, you know, entering the city in Zacchaeus, mm-hmm. being in the sycamore tree.
Right.
And that was a familiar passage of scripture for most of us. And so sermon topic was, why did Jesus come?
Uh-huh.
Why did Jesus come? And he painted a very vivid picture of Zacchaeus and about us.
That's right.
And he said, why did Jesus come? He said, he came to get me. Mm-hmm. He came to get you. He came to save us from the mess that we are in.
That's right.
So that's why Jesus had to come. He had to come, and no matter how we dress it up or how we make up, we all need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we
even
all need
though,
help.
Yeah, even though we may act like we don't, you know,
okay.
A lot of us act like we were born with a Bible in our hand and the scripture in our mouth. But no matter what, we all need Jesus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Zacchaeus was, and I know you probably have this in your notes, was a very interesting character in the Bible, and we can see ourselves in that, even though he had an occupation and a reputation,
mm-hmm.
he still needed something that he couldn't give himself.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's right. You know, it's, and the other thing about it, when we talked about that he came to get us, he talked about the important verses, verse number 10,
mm-hmm.
where it says he came to seek and save the lost.
That's right.
Seek and save the lost. So that's why Jesus came. God's purpose for all of this is for us to be saved.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there are so many things that many times that we have a tendency to hide behind. And oftentimes we find that the shortness in our lives is really a stumbling block. It's not so much built based upon our stature as it is based upon us not really fully growing up into the things of God and not being who God has called us to be. And so that makes us short in spiritually. And so I think when he talked about Zacchaeus, many times we know that he went climbed up the sycamore tree. But as you indicated, Dr. Wesley painted a vivid picture, and the sycamore tree probably wasn't that tall, but Zacchaeus needed something so that he could elevate himself because he had heard about a man that was coming to town.
Amen. And he was also saying Zacchaeus wasn't very tall either.
That's right.
But Zacchaeus, he, like you said, he had painted a picture of him of being a man of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he dressed well, he mm-hmm. looked well because he was rich.
Right.
Because he was a shyster. That's how he got mm-hmm. rich. He was mm-hmm. a tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
He was the chief tax collector.
That's right.
And he talked about the different regions that had tax collectors, mm-hmm. but it said Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector.
Right.
So that made him the most important one. And Zacchaeus had done some unscrupulous things in
That's
his
right.
day. You know, he swindled people. He charged people more money than what he should have. Well, he could charge them whatever he wanted to.
Absolutely.
People didn't have a choice. But you know, it says God's purpose was to seek and save the lost. You know, Zacchaeus thought he was climbing up that sycamore tree to see Jesus, but actually Jesus came right to Zacchaeus.
That's right.
And so the Lord came looking for him and found him and delivered him
mm-hmm.
From what he was going through. And he can do the same for us.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And he said something about calling his name. Isn't that what he said? He called Zacchaeus' name.
Yes, he called Zacchaeus
by name. As
he was
in the tree.
Yes.
And you know, Lady Kim, God sees us. He mm-hmm. knows what we're hiding behind. He knows where the shortness in all of us lie. And mm-hmm. many times we try to hide from God, but God knows our names.
Amen.
And God will call our name in the midst of our frustration, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our mess, mm-hmm. and help us to understand that He's coming after us, and He's coming to save us. He's coming to rescue us. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be mindful of that. You may run, but you can't hide.
Yes.
And so many people try to hide behind their jobs, try to hide behind their influence, and try to hide behind even gates, you know, and feel as if they're secure. But, you know, there's always going to be a void in our lives, and that void can only be filled by giving God our total heart and our mind and our spirit and accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And until we do that, we will remain short in everything that we attempt to do.
Amen. And it talks about how God is a seeker.
Yeah.
You know, and God seeks, not only do we seek God, but God seeks after us.
That's right.
And so Jesus sought Zacchaeus, and like you said, called him by name, said, Zacchaeus, come down,
make haste
from that sycamore tree.
Come down.
You know, so the Lord sought after him. So, you know, Dr. Wesley said, what do we need God? What do we need God for?
Uh-huh.
You know, what are we hiding behind?
That's right.
Like you said. So, it also talked about He's our covering, how God is our covering.
All right.
You know,
you had your antennas up yesterday, huh?
Zacchaeus was hiding behind those big leaves
right.
in that tree and peeking from behind them,
That's
you know,
right.
trying to cover himself so he really couldn't be seen, you
mm-hmm.
know, because he wasn't the most liked person.
That's right.
And you know, another thing, he talked about how people respected him
mm-hmm.
when he.
In his presence.
But behind his back.
Jesus.
They did not like Zacchaeus. They talked about him. And how many times do people respect us when we're in their presence?
And talk about us behind
Talk about us like a dog behind our back. My. I thought that was so on point.
Yeah.
That was a very powerful word
delivered yesterday. And we praise God for Dr. Michael Wesley and the Greater Shiloh Church. And they brought the full load with them. They brought the choir, and many of the members told me that they had been there over the weekend, just making a weekend out of it. And we had everything ready and prepared. All of the people who brought food and all of those who set up, they were over there Saturday night, Lady Kim, setting up. Some people stayed. If you didn't get a chance to taste that brisket, now I'm telling you, that brisket was just melting in my mouth.
And everything.
Yes, everything was delicious.
Yes, it was.
Rice pudding all the way to the banana pudding. I could call a roll, and I've had some to eat today. But I praise God for the Atop Church family, and we have some excellent cooks. And look, y'all set the bar real high.
Yes, you did.
And they already know it. And so they have been talking. They have even requested the service from yesterday so that they could play it on their own stream. So I think it's going to be on next Sunday. But we praise God for those of you who stood tall on yesterday, and you showed yourself friendly, and you did a great work. The men did an excellent job cleaning up, setting up. Before
Thank
I
you.
Left, they had already set everything back up for regular service. And so it's just amazing
mm-hmm.
how we have such a rich group of people who are willing to employ themselves in the service of God.
Amen.
But let me say this before we get into our study. And now look, y'all need to know that your pastor hangs out with some top people.
Top notch.
And don't take that lightly, because you can see from my friends and from the exposure that you're running with a big dog. Come on, y'all help me in this tonight. And so I just want y'all to be mindful of that now. So we already set some dates to go to Birmingham, and somebody typed big dog in there. So we've already set some dates, and we'll be sharing that with you in the near future. But we praise God for the relationships and for the fellowship. And this is not accidental or coincidental, but it's providential that God has allowed us to associate with people who are not just trying to be average, or who are just trying to, you know, get by, but we're associating with eagles and people who want to fly and people who want to go and people who are doing great things. And so you have to glean from that and don't take this season lightly that is in front of us, because God is doing great things. Yes. And so we have to glean from all of these people that are coming through and make sure that we are in line with what we are trying to do. And we'll see some similarities in the things that you've already heard and already been taught right at ATOP.
Amen. Amen.
You see all them big dog signs. Somebody said big dog. All right. So we praise God for each of you tonight. And we're going to go ahead and get started into the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles. That's where we left off on last week. But many of you know that David is yet empowered. He's the king of Israel. And now he's trying to get his kingdom established. Mm-hmm. He's trying to make sure that all of the people are in line and doing what they are supposed to do. He's already conquered some of the people who were still left in the land that were trying to overpower him. And he listened closely to God. We talked about that last week, how he didn't just anticipate God doing something, but he waited. And the Bible says he inquired of the Lord each time that he was to go to battle. And so it is with us. We can oftentimes anticipate God doing something the same way over and over and over again. But many times God wants us to reset, if you will, and reassess our situation, because he might give us some different instructions and directions. And so we have to make sure that we are clear in terms of hearing what God is yet speaking to us each time that we go up against a situation. Because a lot of people, Lady Kim, they are in a battle right now.
Right.
And it's spiritual warfare that's taking place. And we have to make sure that we hear from God and that we spend time listening to discern his voice, because so many voices out there are vying for our attention.
That's right.
But we have to be clear that we hear God's voice, because God might give us a shift in what he would have for us to do in order to accomplish the goal that he would have for our lives.
Amen. That's good stuff right there.
That's right. That's right.
So David is establishing his kingdom. And last week we talked about the Ark of the Covenant.
That's right, that's right.
And what the Ark of the Covenant stood for, mm-hmm. you know. And the Ark of the Covenant was a gold box mm-hmm. That contained the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
The tablets that the Ten Commandments that Moses had received from God on Mount Sinai. And God told them how to build the box to certain specifications. It was a certain kind of wood overlaid with gold, and it had an angel on each end.
Mm-hmm.
And the top of the ark is called the mercy seat.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Reverend.
And so
I felt something when you said that, the mercy seat.
The mercy seat.
My.
It had a pose, you know, it was a box, and it sat like kind of like these ink pens, mm-hmm. and the box
sat on top. Mm-hmm.
And they were to carry them on the shoulders, but they weren't to touch the box.
Okay.
And there were consequences.
They made a mistake in carrying it the wrong way.
They carried it the wrong way. That's what we talked about last week, how they carried the box the wrong way. And the box began to shift. They put it on a cart.
A cart to
start out.
Drawn
by some ox. Uh-huh. Ox. Oxen.
Right,
you know, more than one ox is oxen, I think. And mm-hmm. so, carried by, on a cart carried by oxen. And when the Ark of the Covenant shifted, someone reached out and tried to steady it. And he touched it. And as a result, he died.
Right.
So,
can you imagine how everybody was in
shocked.
An uproar? That's right. They were like, hey, what happened?
Yes.
And so they began to disappear, and they began to go their way, separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one family who
yes.
decided to take the chance and to take a risk.
Yes, and right. they kept the Ark of the Covenant, the house of Obed-Edom.
Mm-hmm.
And I really said it slow. about 10 times today. Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. So,
you were waiting
tongue-tied. Yeah, say it 10 times.
Obed-Edom. Hey.
Obed-Edom. Right. Obed-Edom. So it stayed at the house of Obed-Edom, and it said that as long as it was in resting in his house, the house was blessed.
The house was blessed.
It was blessed. So, you know, wouldn't you just want God's presence to rest in your house?
God.
Amen.
That ought to be somebody's prayer even tonight. God, just let your presence
rest in my house
and in the house. You know, because we worship him in the house,
mm-hmm.
but you ought to worship him in your house before you get to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need God's presence to rest in the house.
Yeah.
And so I praise God for, and that's part of what we were talking about earlier. These past 2 months, Lady Kim, as we prepare to close out February, the Spirit of God has been resting in the house. And I tell you, lives have been changed.
Yes,
people
sir.
Are being delivered.
Yes,
Brother Daryl, gave a powerful
Darryl
testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And people are being set free by the power of God. And, you know, just yesterday, one of the members, I knew a member who wanted to have active dual,
membership.
Mm-hmm. She felt something, and she knew that where she was not getting everything, the fullness of what she wanted, and perhaps even wrestling with some issues herself. But God has a way of calling your name.
Yes, he does.
And I believe that she heard the voice of God on yesterday, because that was not her first time coming. And in a powerful ministry already, but she feels a need to do more and want to do more. And so we're going to put her to work. We're going to get the full aspect of what she brings to the table and see how we can make it happen for her at ATOP in terms of her ministry and her calling. And so I just believe God is doing some powerful things here at ATOP during this season. And do not let this moment pass you by. Do not let this season pass you by.
Amen.
And so, Lady Kim, even as you indicated, when we get into this 15th chapter, we see that there are quite a few lessons here. And I believe it's about, 29 verses?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and let you read some of it. But there are some powerful messages here outside of what we see on this paper that we can apply to our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see that David has aggressively decided that he's going to bring the ark to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And how he has consulted with God. He has told the people that he's going to follow God's instructions to the letter, and he's going to do it God's way so that he might have that power resting in his house.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So let's maybe read the first 15 verses, and then let's see where we are after that.
Okay, and there are a lot of names, so I mess them up, then...
Is that a disclaimer?
That's a disclaimer, absolutely.
All right.
First Chronicles, the 15th chapter, starting in verse 1. After David had constructed buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever." David assembled all Israel in Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to the place he had prepared for it. He called together the descendants of Aaron and the Levites. From the descendants of Korah, Uriel, the leader of 120 relatives. From the descendants of Merari, Asa, the leader, and 220 relatives. From the descendants of Gershon, Joel, the leader, and 130 relatives. From the descendants of Elizaphan, Shemaha, the leader, and 200 relatives. From the descendants of Hebron, Eliel, the leader, and 80 relatives. From the descendants of Uzziel, Amadab, the leader, and 112 relatives. Then David summons Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shema, Eliel, and Aminadab, the Levites. He said to them, "You are the heads of the Levitical families. Mm-hmm. You and your fellow Levites are to consecrate yourselves and bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. It was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us.
Right.
We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way."
Mm-hmm.
"So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord and God, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders as Moses had commanded in accordance with the word of the Lord."
Okay. So you see how it's unfolding, and he's organizing really and making sure that he's giving specific instructions. Mm-hmm. And that the Levites, the priests, are the ones who are going to be out front in terms of leading and bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. And they had to consecrate themselves. So there was probably a period that doesn't go into any detail about what that consecration was all about. Mm-hmm. But they had to consecrate themselves for the task that was before them.
Amen.
And it's so important for us when we have a monumental task in front of us, whether it's trying to do something magnificent, you know, in the life of the church, or whether it's trying to go to the next level. I believe that it's important. That's why we have these fasts, that the leaders particularly need to consecrate themselves. Mm-hmm. Because we are the ones out front. We are the ones who are carrying the poles, mm-hmm. if you will. We are the ones who have been charged with making sure that what God has given us is in place so that we can give it to the people.
Amen. That's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Levites were chosen because they were the priests.
That's right.
You know, like you said, they were like the ministers.
Right.
And they were to go forth. And so David instructed them exactly how they should do it, mm-hmm. because they had done it incorrectly the first time, but he wanted to make sure that things were done in decency and in order this time, that the Ark of the Covenant be brought back safely.
Right.
To the place in which he had prepared for it.
And that word, "he inquired of the Lord," comes out again. Mm-hmm. So he took time out to make sure that he talked to God. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto us." Many times we get in such a hurry trying to do it our way, and not consulting or inquiring of the Lord to make sure that we're following his mandate and we're doing it according to what he would have us to do. Because sometimes we can get so used to doing it our way till we forget to inquire of the Lord.
Amen. And it's important to inquire of the Lord, not only in big things, but small things.
That's right.
You know, we always think that we need to consult God when we have a major issue, or that we need to consult God when we're trying to make a decision. But we need to consult God concerning everything.
Absolutely.
God, do I need to do it this way or that way? God, what way would you have me to do? What person would you have me to go to? Mm-hmm. Where should I go to? Just simple things. And God will speak to you. But you got to get somewhere and get quiet, mm-hmm. in order to hear from God directly.
There are a couple of comments there. Can you see what other people are saying?
Yes, Brother Nora said, "Worship God in your house before you get to his house." That's a mic drop.
That's good. That's right. That's right.
You know, a lot of times we just run out the house to come to worship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't prayed. We hadn't done anything but, you know, we throw on some clothes and rush up in the house of the Lord. No, you need to settle yourself. You need to prepare yourself. And I love that we have Sunday school and the men's class, because that's a time of preparation.
That's
too.
Right. That's right.
Even if you didn't have time before you left the house in the morning to prepare your heart and mind for worship, when you get to Sunday school, you begin to get filled with the Word of God and your heart begins to settle, and you're prepared for worship once
Absolutely.
You come out of the Bible study in Sunday school.
That's good. And what is
And Dr. Butler says we need to do what God has called us to do, not what we want to do. Stay in your calling.
Wow. Stay in your calling. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's
we
good.
Can't do what we want to do.
No. And not expect to get the results that God would have for us.
Right, absolutely.
And stay in your calling. You can really say stay in your lane as
yeah.
well, because many people are operating out of their calling and not allowing God to do what he wants them to specifically do.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we start mixing into something that's not even our gift or our calling,
mm-hmm.
and end up missing out on what God would have for us.
Amen.
And you know, Lady Kim, when we're out of order, when we're out of our lane, when we're not operating in our calling, the whole church suffers.
Yes.
And so we have to be mindful of that, and we have to stay in true to what God has called
mm-hmm.
us to do.
And you know, when you talk about staying in your lane and operating in your calling, some of us are not operating at all.
At all.
You know, and,
we just
and
turn
that's
the engine
a, that's
off,
a
right?
sin right there.
My,
not
my,
to
my.
Use your gifts for the glory of God. Because when you don't use your gift, the whole body suffers.
That's right.
That's
right.
Like if I decide I'm not going to use my right leg today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be handicapped because I'm going to be hopping around and looking all crazy. Or I'm not going to use my right hand today. That's my dominant hand. I'm going to try to use my left hand. Well, that's going to be a hot mess too, trying
mm-hmm.
to do things with. So if you refuse to operate, we're going to be handicapped.
That's right.
So use your gifts. Find your calling. Find your anointing that God has placed on your life. And a lot of people think it has to be some kind of priestly anointing or
mm-hmm.
some kind of ministering,
right.
ministerial preaching anointing. But God has given us all gifts.
That's right.
Your anointing might be to stand at the door and smile at people.
Thank you, God.
Your anointing might be a gift to the gift or the talent to sing. Your anointing might be gifts of helps and service. We saw it on yesterday when people serve people with a smile,
wow.
when they serve people without complaining, when they worked in the kitchen without murmuring. That was the spirit of hospitality, and it takes a special temperament and gift for people to operate that way. So don't sit on your gifts.
That's right.
Amen. You don't sit on your calling. Get up and get busy. And then don't operate outside of your calling.
That's right. And stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
That's right. And if God has called you to it, he will see you through it.
Amen.
Ah, glory to God. All right. Well, we're in First Chronicles, the 15th chapter, and Lady Kim has already read the first, 15 verses,
mm-hmm.
and we were just reflecting on how David is preparing now to bring the ark to Jerusalem. The Levites, the priests, have been consecrated, and David inquired of the Lord, and he's clear, because in inquiring of the Lord, we have to make sure that we stand still long enough to hear what God has to say.
Amen.
And so it doesn't give us a time frame or a time limit in terms of how long the consecration took place or how long it took for David to hear back from God when he inquired. But we do know that he got specific instructions and he followed them to the T. And so here they are now getting ready to go and bring the ark back to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll pick, go ahead.
I think the 15th verse that it said they bear the ark on their shoulders, that and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of God. So here they are now back in Jerusalem,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
Yes. And so I think the verses 16 through 24 really talk about the celebration at bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's pick it up at verse 16 and then let's read down to Well, you want to go ahead and read it all, and then we'll, let's see, how's our time? Yeah, go ahead and read the rest of that, Lady Kim, and then we'll comment on some of these aspects of what we see in these latter few verses.
Again, there are a lot of names contained in here, so if I jumble them up, then, you know, charge it to my illiteracy. verse number 16, I'm reading from the NIV version.
Okay.
David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint their fellow Levites as musicians to make a joyful sound with musical instruments, lyres, harps, and cymbals. So the Levites appointed Heman, son of Joel, from his relatives, Asaph, son of Berechiah, and from their relatives, the Meronites, Ethan, son of Cushanai, and with them, their relatives, next in rank, Zechariah, Jehaziel, Sheremal, Jaalai, Eliab, Benaha, Manasseh, Mathitha, all them folks.
You silly.
Him and him too.
The gatekeepers.
I'm at 19. The gatekeepers, the musicians, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were to sound the bronze cymbals.
Is that Obed-Edom in there?
Obed-Edom is in there. Yes.
He was Zechariah. One of the gatekeepers, yeah. Right?
I think he's one of the musicians. Is he one of the musicians?
It says, what verse is that? Verse number 19,
the musicians.
Okay.
Heman, Asaph, and
Right before 19 starts.
Obed-Edom and Jeriel, the gatekeepers.
The gatekeepers.
Yes.
So Obed-Edom, he probably had a rough time of releasing the ark, but because his house was being blessed in such a powerful and a mighty way. But, you know, he was willing to submit to what God had before them to bless the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can get so caught up in trying to keep blessings to ourselves.
Now that's good right there.
And not allow it to be released so that others can be blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing.
Absolutely.
And so we have to keep that in mind and not try to hoard our testimonies, not sit on our giving and our worship and our praise, you know, and because others are being blessed as a result of that.
Yeah. And we'll see that Obed-Edom, he was a gatekeeper, but he was also a musician because in verse 21,
he comes again.
Yeah, but 19, the musicians, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were to sound the bronze cymbals. Zechariah, Jaziel, Sheremuth, Jehu, Uni, Eliab, Manasseh, and Benaha were to play the lyres according to Alamah, and Mathilu, Ephalu, Makeniah, Obed-Edom, Jeriel, and Azariah were to play the harps, directing according to Shemaiah.
What verse is that?
20. That ended 21.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Keniah, the head Levite, was in charge of the singing. That was his responsibility because he was skillful at it.
Right.
Berechiah and Elkanah were to be doorkeepers for the ark. Shebaniah.
He's Josaphat, talking about the priest now.
Nathaniel. Amaziel, Zechariah, Benaha, and Eleazar, the priests, were to blow trumpets before the ark of God. Obed-Edom and Jehiah were also to be doorkeepers for the ark.
Wow.
So David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of units of the thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing, because God had helped the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. 7 bulls and 7 rams were sacrificed. Now David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the ark, mm-hmm. and as were the musicians, and Kenanah, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. David also wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant to the Lord with shouts, with the sounding of ram's horns and trumpets and of cymbals and playing of lyres and harps, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord was entering the city of David. Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from the window, and when she saw King David dancing and celebrating, she despised him in her heart.
Wow. So Michal was David's wife.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes. Saul's daughter was David's wife. Yes.
Right. And so this is the latter part of the 15th chapter of First Chronicles. And we see how David has been intentional about giving instructions and making sure that everyone is in line with their gift set and responsibility that's necessary in order for them to proceed. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in their lane. Everybody was acting according to their calling. Mm-hmm. And the singers were doing what they were supposed to do, as well as those who were moving out in front. They were doing their job. And nobody was trying to do somebody else's job.
Yeah, and nobody was trying to outshine the other person. They were all working together.
That's right.
And that's how it has to be. Everybody working together in order to get the job done.
And so, even as they're making their way into the city, the Bible says that they are rejoicing, mm-hmm. and that they are shouting. And David is dressed in his kingly wardrobe and attire. But something unusual happened as he was preparing to enter into, probably they were going down the main thoroughfare of the city. David got happy.
He got happy.
And one translation says he danced out of his clothes.
Yes.
And his wife, Michal, was in the window looking down at him. And the Bible says she despised him. What do you think that's all about,
David? I think she was upset because here David is the king of Israel. And he's supposed to be dignified.
Okay.
And he's supposed to, you know, he's supposed to be all that in a bag of chips.
Okay.
And here he is dancing before the Lord with all of his might, dancing and praising God so much that he danced out of his clothes. And so how embarrassing is that for a wife to have her husband out exposing himself before others because he's danced out of his clothes?
Okay.
So,
well, stop right there, because you really touched on some really valid points there. You said she probably was embarrassed because she felt that he should have been acting more dignified and more priestly.
Yes.
And not dancing in such a way that it brought dishonor, no doubt, from her opinion to his whole position as king. Mm-hmm. Is that, I'm just summarizing, yes, what you're saying. Because one of the things here, Lady Kim, now, scripture would remind us that Michal was Saul's daughter. Mm-hmm. And when we go back and trace that whole proposition, even before Saul died, Michal was placed to really spy on David and trying to bring him down, and also trying to disrupt what looked like a momentum that was happening in terms of him outshining Saul, even before Saul died in battle. And so one of the points here that I think is clear is that this part of the passage says a lot to us if we look at it and try to make it relevant to us. It says a lot about being unequally yoked in terms of who we are connected with and who we are tied to, and how many times if we don't know the person that we are being attached to, something of this nature can show up down the road. And so even though it may have appeared to be an embarrassment, Some people can even look at that even today when people get happy and they get excited in the house of the Lord about what God has done for them and how God has delivered and how God has made a way. And then other people might despise what God is getting glory from.
Amen.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so it's up for debate. And she, the Bible says that she despised him, but it didn't go into any depth in terms of why she despised him, because perhaps she was not feeling it. You know, she was not into what he was doing. And she thought, like we already indicated, that he was really dishonoring his position and his place as the king. But when God does a thing in our lives,
hallelujah,
and when God has delivered, Lord, and when God has allowed us to lead and bring back to a place where he would have it to be, the blessing that he has made forth for us to live by, that's something to be excited about.
Yes, it is.
And so I don't think David was intentional about trying to be an embarrassment or trying to despise his wife. But I think that we can almost say the Holy Spirit got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when things like that happen, then you're not in control. The Spirit is in control. And it didn't say that God was despised, but it said his wife was despised.
Mm-hmm. That his wife despised him.
His wife despised him, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking, too, that a lot of times when you are not participatory in the celebration,
mm-hmm.
then you are disjointed from that feeling.
Okay.
She didn't go with them.
Right.
You know, she didn't feel that excitement.
That's right.
She didn't really quite understand or grasp the magnitude of what was happening.
That's right.
That here they were bringing the word of God back into their presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so important. And she was just kind of numb about it, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's like walking in church and the spirit is high and everybody is praising God and jumping, and you walk in like, well, what's going on?
And you sit down, you know, and go over there and be
and
like,
and you just can't get into it. Right. No, because you were not there when the fire was lit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You like a coal that's rolled over to the side, or that's sitting over to the side. You're going to have to get in the fire in order to get warmed up.
That's right.
So, you know, we have to make sure that we stay close to the fire.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
There are some, a few comments here. 1,000 tongues ain't enough to praise him for my healing. That's Dr. Qualis. Dr. Tunstall says, discover your gifts, develop your gifts, delight in your gifts.
That's
Amen.
Good.
That's good. That's 3 points that'll preach
better write
right
that
there.
Down, right? Because somebody that can come up.
You might hear that again.
I know.
You might
right?
hear that again.
I was trying to find the reference where how Saul had almost kind of set his daughter in place to really be a distraction for David,
okay.
and trying to make sure that David was going to fail, mm-hmm. and not really succeed,
mm-hmm.
and how that was almost like a trap. Let me see. Look at 1 Samuel, and let's see, 18 and 20 and 21, and see if we can find out if that's it. 1 Samuel 18, 20 and 21. Good to see our good friend, Dr. John Tunstall, as Lady Kim is turning there. And you know, Lady Kim, on yesterday, Dr. Tunstall, that was his last Sunday preaching,
as he has retired
from the Abundant Life Christian Church that he founded some 39 years ago.
Wow.
And I watched the video, I watched the service afterwards, Dr. Johnny, and man, I could just watching you, man, I could feel you had all kind of emotions going through your mind, and you were trying to tell the story. You preached the sermon that you preached when you first started the church, take your mark, get set, go. And so you were telling them, and man, I so admire how you stood tall yesterday. I thought you were getting ready to break there, but you handled your business, man, because you probably had a floodgate of thoughts emotions. Going through your mind, man, and you knowing that's your last Sunday and that you're getting ready to launch out in terms of what God has called you to do. But hats off to you. We've been with you for a long time. I can recall some of those same stories that you were sharing in your sermon about how God was moving, and you called the charter members and you had the role. And man, that was a powerful service on yesterday that I had a chance to view afterwards. And thank you for your service and your ministry, because you really, these two people right here, man, you helped us
tremendously.
Mm-hmm. And even when we didn't know what we were doing, you didn't push us to the side or act like, you know, you didn't have time for us. Mm-hmm. But man, you helped us, and we came to United and got hooked up with that Bible study class. We would have service on Bible study night. The place was packed, wasn't
yes,
it, Lady Kim?
It was.
And so, man, we just appreciate you. I know you'll be here this weekend, but just wanted to say while you were online how much we appreciate the witness and your testimony, man, and how you mentored so many, and the best is yet to be told about how great an influence you have had on so many people.
Amen.
In your ministry.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, so
right.
We're in 1 Samuel 18.
Yeah.
You said verse 21.
20 and 21.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
All right.
It said, now Saul's daughter, Michal, was in love with David.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul said to David, now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. So Saul had another idea in mind. He wanted her to be a snare. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
A snare to him, so that it would be easy for the Philistines to really dominate him.
Right.
But that's part of what we might see coming to play here in 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, with her attitude and how she despised him for what he was doing.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to bring that out. All right. So we're back in 1 Chronicles, and unless you had something else, Lady Kim, you want to add to that?
No.
And so it's important that we understand the ploys of the enemy, and make sure that we get to know people before we become attached to them. And that's probably the old school way of doing it, because people nowadays, they care nothing about none of that.
They don't even know the person's last name before they're trying to, I'm not even going to go there tonight.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother Bible study
that's
on
right.
relationships,
that's
okay?
Right. And so this 15th chapter where Michal, his wife, was displeased with him, I think had a lot to do with she was not 100% in support of him from the beginning.
Amen.
All right. Well, our time is about up, Lady
yes,
Kim.
Yes, it is.
Any other comments there that you see we might
no,
need to elaborate
any.
On? So we hope that y'all have enjoyed this study tonight. This is the 15th chapter. On next week, we will be in the 16th chapter. And how many verses are there in that 16th chapter? Let me see. There are about 43 verses. And I think we're going to run into a couple of things like we did. No, this one looks pretty clear. David is it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And we'll see that coming out in next week's study. But I want to encourage you to read the 16th chapter for next week's time together. And then we'll continue to move through 1 Chronicles.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any prayer requests or praise reports, if you would put those in the chat so we can lift those up on tonight. I do have a few that I want to mention. First of all, we want to lift up prayers for Sister Elaine Stevenson in the loss of her brother, Raymond Stevenson. That's also the uncle for Brother DeJuan Whitmore.
Okay.
So we want to lift that family up in our prayers. Also lift up Sister Geraldine Orange in the loss of her niece, Tina Thomas. The services will be held this coming Saturday in Pine Bluff, Missouri. So she says she will be traveling there on Saturday for that funeral. And then keep Sister Lena Jackson lifted up in your prayer. Sister Lena is in St. Francis Hospital. And also continue to lift up Brother Robert Jefferson, who's doing better. And so we thank God for his healing. We claim a healing, total healing, for all those who are on our sick and shut-in list. And I know Sister Carolyn Holmes, we're praying for her sister Ida Tate, who will have a procedure done on Monday, next Monday.
Okay.
So we want to lift up Sister Ida Tate in our prayers as well. And Sister Barbara Knight told me today that Sister Roxy Briggs' sister in New York is sick in the hospital.
Wow.
We want to lift up her sister. I think she told me her name is Barbara. She told me her name was Barbara because she said, just like my name, Barbara, but I can't remember her last name right now. And I wrote it on my pad when I was at work. But we want to lift up Barbara Knight's aunt, also is Sister Roxy Briggs' sister in New York, who is in the hospital.
Okay. And Brother Martez, we want to continue to keep him before us. And I did get a chance to communicate with Brother Jefferson as well as Brother Charles Reynolds today. And they both are headed in the right direction. And
right.
So want to continue to keep them in our prayers as well. And I want to encourage those of you who know of people who are yet going through or who you have heard about wrestling with some situations. Dr. Butler, of course, is on the line. Congregational care. We're reformulating and trying to make sure that we minister to those that if we don't know, we have no idea of how to respond. And so if you know of someone who's going through, if you know of some issues that we need to be aware of, by all means, let us know so that we can pray and we can try to do our best to help in meeting those needs.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. I don't see any other prayer requests or praise reports on the feed on tonight. So we can go to God in prayer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We thank you for this opportunity, God, to come to you, to learn more of you, oh God. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing,
God.
And all
yes,
that
God.
You will do. We pray, oh God, for the family of Officer Red, who was killed at the library, God. We pray for all police officers and all first responders, oh God. And we pray for the nurses and the teachers and the counselors in Memphis Shelby County Schools. We pray for the administrators, and most of all, we pray for the students, God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, oh God, so that as we lift up the concerns of your people, you will act on our behalf.
Yes, God.
We lift up today, tonight, God, Sister Elaine Stevenson in the loss of her brother. We lift up, oh God, Sister Geraldine Orange in the loss of that niece. And God, we ask special prayers on tonight for the sick that we know of, God.
Right.
We ask for prayers for Brother Martez Jones. We ask for healing, grace, and mercy, oh God, for Brother Jefferson and Brother Charles Reynolds.
Thank you, God.
We ask for healing mercies for Sister Lena Jackson.
Thank you,
and
God,
we lift up Sister Beverly Benjamin and Bishop Benjamin to you, God.
Thank you, God.
We ask that you would touch and heal their bodies as well.
Yes, God.
We love you tonight, God. We bless you. We thank you that you can do anything but fail.
Thank you,
so
God.
We love you. We ask for traveling mercies for those who will be traveling on this weekend. We give you praise, honor, and glory until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God.
Amen. We hope to see you on Sunday.
That's right. That's right. So, look, y'all be safe out there. And We'll be on in the morning with our inspirational moment at 7 a.m. if you're able to join us. And we praise God for how he's continued to sustain us in this season. So be encouraged. Until next time, be blessed.
Amen. Bye-bye, everybody.